but I think it's equally important to highlight how the job is going to benefit others. I believe that most employees want to make a difference.
Could they actually predict later burnout or engagement a year later? And basically the research said, yes, we could.
Well, you know, the bottom line is, as you say, the bottom line. I mean, procedural fairness is a good deal.
Welcome to Under New Management, the podcast that highlights new and notable research in organizational behavior and how this research can impact your effectiveness as a leader in your organization. I'm Mike Johnson, an associate professor of organizational behavior at the Foster School of Business at the University of Washington in Seattle. Have you received emails from your employer outside of work time? How did you feel about them? Have you sent communications to your employees outside of work time? In this episode, we talk with Marcus Butts of the University of Texas at Arlington about this very topic and Marcus's interesting research on how these non-work time communications affect employees' emotions and how this conflicts with their personal lives. Marcus Butts, welcome to Under New Management.
Thank you very much, Mike. I really appreciate being here.
Well, we appreciate you being with us too. So let's talk about your study. It looks at the problem of employees dealing with electronic communication during non-work time. Now, how common is it for people to have to stay in touch with their employees or with their employers outside of work time?
Well, some of the studies that we read up on, some of the national polls, show that somewhere between 80 to 90% of employees actually check their work email after non-work hours. Hmm. Actually, because of the prevalence of that, some popular press articles have kind of deemed this the new night shift. And so the idea is that sometime after you get home from work, whether it's right before you go to bed or when you're sitting at the dinner table, you log back into work to try to answer any questions that your coworkers, your clients, your subordinates may have from the day.
Yeah, in fact, this has gotten so bad that aren't there some companies that are now encouraging their employees not to check their work emails? Like, wasn't there something with Google in Ireland?
Yeah, actually, kind of some of this come out of Dublin with regard to Google. It's one of the reasons why we got interested in this topic. Actually, in a lot of different countries in Europe, there's actually union, I guess, laws and rules that employees are not allowed to check their emails after normal work hours. It seems as kind of a being an infringement upon what's really required of those employees in European countries, particularly in France. And in Google Dublin, they actually did an experiment where Laszlo Bock, the HR VP of Google, he had all the employees kind of turn off their electronic devices. So whenever they left the office, they would turn in their cell phones and not answer emails at night. To look at how just they were happier for doing that.
And what did they find?
In general, they found that, obviously, those employees that were able to disconnect from work, they had more energy whenever they didn't have to answer emails or answer text messages, and they were happier with their jobs on those days.
Do you have any other examples of companies that have had experiences with this?
Well, one of the other, I guess, reasons why myself and my co-author, Bill Becker, were interested in this is we both have spouses that work in corporate America. And both of our spouses, one day he and I were talking about our spouses and how sometimes at the dinner table they may get an email that they're checking on their phone. And then kind of their emotional reaction to that email then kind of sets the tone for the rest of the night at the dinner table. And then that conversation really then led us into this project that we worked on.
Okay, well, let's get into it. So, you know, from a theoretical perspective, you looked at affective events theory. Can you tell us how that, you know, tell us about it and how it applies to these non-work time communications?
Certainly. So affective events theory and some related theories around what they call control theory of emotions. The main premise of them is that we have these emotions, and the idea is that our emotions are really a psychological reaction to some type of precipitating event. For example, if I'm about to give a speech in front of a room of 50 people, well, if I hate speaking in front of people, well, then I'm more likely to get sweaty palms, I'm likely to get kind of my mouth feels dry, and I'm going to experience fear in that situation. But if I approach that situation as from being a confident speaker, and maybe I'm about to speak about something that I'm very passionate about, well, then I'm more likely for my heartbeat to race, and I'm probably going to experience excitement. So really the idea is that these precipitating events, we evaluate them either from a negative or positive lens, and then that sets up our emotions to go down a certain path.
So when people get emails from their employer outside of work time, you're suggesting this can lead them to either have positive or negative emotions?
Yeah, and what's interesting about affective events kind of in the realm of work, non-work, or work family is that a lot of the work family literature, we talk about how work and non-work are really separate things. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we go to work, we may carry with us these attitudes and experiences that we have from non-work or from our family. So when you go to work in the morning, if you get in a fight with your spouse, well, that's going to put you in a bad mood at work. On the flip side, if you had a bad day at work, you're all burned out from work. Whenever you get home, well, then that puts you in a bad mood at home.
Mm-hmm.
But affective events theory is interesting in this context because we're really looking at how one event may impact your experiences and your emotions while you're in another domain. So when we think about electronic communications, it's not about the spillover between one domain and the other. It's that you're actually occupying one domain and the other domain is simultaneously spilling over to the other domain.
Yeah, that's interesting because I just think, you know, you get an email from work when you're not supposed to be working, you know, it's just going to be a negative thing, right? You just might be annoyed with it. But you also looked at the content of these emails that people got, right? Or the electronic communications. The content of the communication matters as well, right?
Yeah, that was mainly our focus because a lot of the work that has been done at this point, we just look at, okay, how much email do you get after hours? And we all kind of acknowledge that, yeah, whenever we get emails after hours, we're going to be more stressed. It drains our resources. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give us time to kind of get a respite from work. But we're really interested in, okay, well, whenever you get those emails, perhaps there's something about them that may be viewed as more negative or interruptive on your non-work life. And so that was really our focus, where we wanted to look at these two specific elements, the tone of the communication and also the time it took you to deal with whatever was asked of you.
And you used a kind of an interesting research methodology called experience sampling to study this. Can you tell us briefly what that is and how that is different from most organizational research?
Yeah, so experience sampling is really basically the idea that you would measure something every day or at multiple points in time. We often think that experience sampling is really something kind of new, but it was really one of the first ways in which people looked at employees in the workplace. And the idea of experience sampling is that we really care about how people have differences across their days. So the idea is that, as opposed to most organizational research, where we care about how one employee is different from the other employee, within experience mm-hmm. sampling, we care about how the employee is different from themselves on average. So how on a Monday, for example, my emotions may be different than they are on average for the week.
Sure. And your experience sampling asked people to respond after they had received a communication from their employer outside of work, right?
Yeah. So our experience sampling design really looked at what we call event contingent sampling. So whenever you got an email, that's when you responded. So on days where you didn't get an email, you wouldn't respond to the survey.
All right. So tell us what your results were. What did you find?
Well, what we found primarily was that these two elements of electronic communication, so the time it takes you to deal with communication and also the tone of the communication, that makes you feel more angry. And that anger then spills over into whether or not you can engage into your non-work life. Now, there was a couple of boundary conditions or things that also impact those relationships. So there's this idea that there are those of us that prefer to mesh together our work and non-work lives, and we like to go back and forth between them. And those people are called the integrators. Then there are those folks that they like to keep their two worlds completely separate, and they're called the segmenters. Well, people that are segmenters, they had a much more difficult time whenever they got an email after work hours, and it was much more intrusive to their perceptions of being engaged in non-work. Which is really kind of interesting because a lot of the work on people that are segmenters versus integrators, it says, okay, almost across the board, it's better to be a segmenter. So it's better to try to keep your life separate. But we kind of found the opposite in that people that were segmenters, they had a harder time whenever they did receive an email.
Hmm. And that was particularly true if the communication required a lot of time for them to respond to it, right?
Right, right. That was primarily with regard to the time that it required.
Yeah. So let me just go back to this affective tone thing. You know, the tone of the email you said affected people's emotions. So what can you give us some examples of different kinds of tone in these communications that people received?
Yeah. So most messages were kind of neutral in tone. Mm-hmm. What was also interesting was that some of these messages actually did have a lot of negative connotation, where the boss would say that it's of immediate importance that you deal with this issue right now. Or that if this doesn't get done by tomorrow, there's going to be consequences.
And those negative ones, people got angry when they received those, right?
Yeah, people got angry. Now, not to shed too bad of a light on things, one of the positive, I guess, outcomes of our study, we also found that really the strongest relationship was between positive messages and happiness. It's just that faded pretty fast.
I like that about the happiness. But I'm actually kind of more interested in the anger portion. So when people got the negative emails, they got angry. And then in turn, what happened?
So in turn from getting angry, the idea is that it drains your resources. It makes you just super focused on that that anger, on that negative event. Mm-hmm. That makes it so you cannot engage in your non-work life. And so we found that anger fully mediated the relationship between the tone of the communication and your experience of work to non-work conflict.
Hmm. So people get negative emails, they get angry, and then they withdraw from their families or whatever else they're doing in their non-work time.
Yeah, so the reason why they withdraw from their families is because of that anger that they're experiencing, and they can't really decouple or detract themselves from that anger. And so all they can think about is that work communication as opposed to whatever, you know, their spouse or their kids or whatever they should be attending to in their non-work life.
Okay, so Marcus, how can organizations apply your findings?
Well, one of the things is that senders of electronic communication, they really need to understand that after hours, the person you're sending your message to probably isn't as vested in your message as you are. Hmm. And there's a good chance that they may be doing something else that may be kind of detracting from their ability to concentrate. Because of that, they're also more likely to misinterpret or to not pay enough attention to your message. So there's this huge effect that after hours, it's more likely for your electronic communication to be misinterpreted or for it to be ambiguous. Hmm. And a lot of times, whenever people read that message, they think back to their relationship with their boss, or they think about what they're currently doing and the fact that they're being interrupted from their personal life. And so managers and employees, whenever they send those electronic communications, they need to take into account the fact that the other person that you're sending that message to, they're probably not doing work at the exact same time.
Right. But it's not necessarily bad for them to receive these communications in non-work time, right?
True, because we did find an effect that, you know, there's a pretty strong effect from the tone of the message and happiness. Hmm. So if the message itself has a positive connotation, you're more likely to have this positive emotional response, such as happiness. So that's kind of a good thing for organizations, too, in that, you know, recently in the news, there's been this talk, companies such as Accenture, where they're doing away with performance evaluations. Mm-hmm. And instead of doing that, they're going to do more kind of consistent developmental feedback on a week-to-week or month-to-month basis. Well, because you have this relationship between the tone of the email and positive emotions, there's a possibility here that organizations could use that aspect and give positive feedback after hours. Hmm. Make that part of your developmental feedback plan, whether for managers giving feedback to employees on a weekly basis. Because if you think about it, as employees, we don't really expect to get positive news via email. And so perhaps when we do get positive news, it's, you know, we see it as even more important and having more of a weight than we would if we received positive news during the day at the office.
Hmm. But restrict their negative messages to the time when employees are actually at work?
Yes, because of the fact that employees, you know, they don't want to feel like they're always connected to the office. So if you have to have electronic communication, it needs to be communication that is very clear in nature. So there's a lot of very detail-oriented, very work-oriented, and doesn't have any type of personal attack or any kind of implied negativity to it.
Excellent. Good stuff. All right, Marcus, what would you say is the bottom line for managers?
Managers need to keep in mind kind of the personal desires of each employee with regard to their non-work electronic communications. So you may have some employees that are integrators. For those integrators, send them emails all the time. For those that are segmenters, you need to consider when they prefer to have those emails and treat each relationship with each employee as its own customized, idiosyncratic relationship.
Great. Well, we've been talking with Marcus Butts from the University of Texas at Arlington. Marcus, thanks again for being on the podcast.
Well, thank you both very much again for having me. I really appreciate it and really enjoyed our conversation.
For links to the paper and many other resources related to the topic discussed in this episode, please visit obweb.org. That's obweb.org. OBWeb is the website of the Organizational Behavior Division of the Academy of Management. The OB Division has over 6,000 members from 65 countries dedicated to advancing scholarship in the understanding of the behavior of individuals and groups in organizations. You can also find more information about the Academy of Management at aom.org. Web support for this podcast is provided by Steve Charlier.